I'm excited to begin our brand new series today, our first series of 2015. I've actually been excited about this series for about 4 or 5 months when God really put it on my heart, and so I've been looking forward to this. Let me welcome everybody in our cafe today. I know our overflow is being used over there, and so we want to let you know that thanks for being over there and being a part of church today with us. I'm going to give you an update on our legacy offering next week, and then for those of you that are joining us Thursday night at the Dream Center, looking forward to having you all with us. If you want to come on, I think there's some last-minute spots available. You can talk to the team outside. I want to invite you to pull out your message notes. For those of you who like collecting message notes, a lot of people like to collect them. We have 3-ring binders available for you outside at our information table. These are free of charge. It's just a great way to kind of keep all your notes throughout the year and file them and kind of go through and see what God spoke to you during different messages throughout the year. So I want to encourage you to use those. Those are available outside. We're beginning a brand new series called I Have Decided, because every new year, people make New Year's resolutions, and USA Today says that almost all of them fail by the time they get to Valentine's Day. That's about how long a New Year's resolution lasts. And so I don't want us to make resolutions today. I want us to make some decisions today, to really look at some important decisions in our life that will set the pace for the entire year and really our entire life. We're going to begin today in Philippians chapter 3. We have the Apostle Paul. He's speaking from a jail cell, and he's sitting on death row waiting for his execution. What I love about Paul is here he is on death row waiting for his execution, and he's still setting goals. Like, there's still some stuff that he hasn't accomplished yet, some things that he's working towards. Like, he never stopped pushing forward in his life, even sitting on death row. In verse 13, Paul says, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." In other words, I still have some goals. There's still some things I'm going after in my life. And he says, "But one thing I do." One thing that I do. I love Paul's focus. I love how Paul narrows it down to one thing. Like, above everything else, if I can do this one thing. And then he says, "I'm going to forget what's behind." And that was a big issue for Paul. Those of you that know Paul's backstory, he didn't have a great start in life. And a lot of things in his past he was ashamed of. He said, "Listen, I'm going to forget what's behind me, and I'm straining towards what is ahead." I like the choice of words here. He's like, "I'm straining for this." He goes, "I press on towards this goal." And I want you to have some goals in your life. I believe in goals. We have goals in our church. I'm a goal setter. I think we all need goals. Here's what I've learned about goals in life. If you don't have a goal, you're going to hit it every time. Like, you're just guaranteed to hit it every time if you don't have a goal. I think we need to have goals in our life. Paul says, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So what we're going to do this month is we're going to look at some of the important decisions of our lives. And we all have goals. We all have goals for our family and goals for career and goals for business. We've got different goals, but what I really want to look at is the all-important decisions. The decisions that are above every goal, the decisions that literally set the foundation for your life. And we're going to look at 4 decisions over the next 4 weeks that really are foundational decisions that we need to make in our life. And before I get into it, let me just give you a word of encouragement before we get going. Whatever mistakes you had last year, you know, whatever failures, whatever happened yesterday, whatever about 2014 that you didn't quite like, things that you really wish you would have done, you know, it's kind of regret that you didn't do, and some other things that you really wish you wouldn't have done last year and kind of happened. Let me just say today, God is a God of second chances. That's why I love our God. Our God is all about second chances. So whatever yesterday looked like, God's all about, it's like basketball. You know, like if you take a shot and you missed it in 2014, God's at the backboard waiting for the rebound. He's going to get the rebound and he's going to throw it right back out to you and say, take another shot, take another shot, take another shot. It's like if you were golfing with God, you hit it out in the woods, he'd be the one that would drop the mulligan and say, hey, take another, don't even count it against yourself. Just take a mulligan, just hit it, just take another shot. That's what you need to know about our God. Our God is all about second chances. And the reason I bring that up is because too many of us think that for some reason we've eliminated ourselves because of past mistakes. Like there was something I did yesterday or some failure in my past that will keep me away from the calling God has for my life. And there's nothing further from the truth. 2015 can be one of the absolute greatest years of your life. I love the way Isaiah 43 puts it. Isaiah says, forget the former things. Let's just all move away from 2014. It's over. It's in the books. Let's forget it. Do not dwell on the past. And I love how it says here, see, I am doing a new thing. God wants to do a new thing in your life. He wants to forget everything that happened yesterday. Don't dwell on yesterday. God wants to do something new. And then it says, now. Now, that word now, right now. There is a moment in time that God has created for you, and it's now. Like right now, you have this opportunity in front of you. It springs up. And then the Lord asks, do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? And the reason that question is there is because many of us don't. Many of us miss it. We miss these now moments, these now opportunities that God sets right in front of us, and we don't perceive it. So what I want to do today is we're going to talk about decisions. We're going to talk about good decisions, bad decisions. I think all of us would agree we've made some pretty good decisions in our life, and I think all of us would agree we've made some pretty bad decisions in our life. And I made a list this week of some of the best decisions of my life. What are some of the best decisions of my life? And outside of just, you know, giving my heart to Jesus, outside of living my life for Jesus, probably the greatest decision of my life was marrying my wife. I mean, without a doubt, God knew exactly the type of woman I would need that would have the right amount of grace for a guy like me. And that's a lot of grace for a guy like me. And it, without a doubt, one of the best decisions of my life. One of the other greatest decisions of my life was becoming the pastor of this church. And without a doubt, and I'm not saying that for an applause, I'm telling you, this church has done more for me than anything I've ever done for this church. 4 years ago, when the opportunity kind of presented itself to me, it really didn't make any sense in the natural to me. I mean, the church had been through some very dark, difficult years and was struggling. And right about that time, a pastor friend of mine, pastor's one of the largest churches in California, like a father to me. He sat me down and he said, listen, my wife and I have been praying and you're the only person we would ever turn this church over to. And you want me to come and work with me and take over this church one day. And here this church was that was struggling to even have 100 people on the weekend. And in the natural, it didn't make any sense at all. But I know I heard from God. I knew God wanted me here. And all I can tell you is God has confirmed ever since that this was absolutely one of the greatest decisions of my life. Because this church has done more for me than anything I could have ever done for this church. Great decisions. And I think all of us have made some pretty bad decisions in our life too. I think of one of the bad decisions my wife and I made after we got married. We were living in Los Angeles and everyone in the world was buying real estate because everything just kept going up and up and up. And they were doing these 100% mortgages and financing. And so we thought, you know, let's buy a condo and we'll finance 100% of it. It's a great idea. Everyone else is making money. And little did we know that we bought literally a month before the market dropped. I mean, literally 1 month before everything fell apart is when we bought. And it was turned into, you know, we went from a position of being debt-free and having savings and having investments to literally having nothing and being in debt and struggling for a number of years because of a really bad decision that we made. And so what I want to do today is I want to follow the Apostle Paul's line of thought or kind of line of logic. And here's a question in your notes. What one thing, if changed, would make the biggest difference in my life? What one thing, if it was changed, if I could change this one area, this one thing in my life, would make the biggest difference in my life? Because my job as a pastor is to get you to live your life like it matters. Like, I'm here today to help you live life intentionally, to get some focus, to live your life like it matters. I'm your biggest cheerleader. The job of a pastor is just to be a cheerleader, just to cheer you on to accomplish God's destiny for your life. And Paul said this one thing. Wouldn't you love to know what Paul's one thing was? You know, I put some categories here. These categories may be your one thing. It may be something else. But just look at these to get your mind thinking about what that one thing could be. What one thing in my life, if I changed it, would make the biggest difference. It could be my habits. It could be my habits. You may have some habits that if I could just change this habit, if I could just kind of get rid of this habit, my life would be so much better. It could be the internet, and I'm not even talking about bad things on the internet. It could be something innocent like Facebook. I mean, you sit down to just kind of check something for 5 minutes, and then the next thing you know, it's like 4 hours later. And it's just like you got this addiction. You've got to check on every person you've ever known and kind of trail their history and just see what's going on in their life. And it's just this, you know, this little habit. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe you drink too much. And you say to yourself, well, I don't drink too much. Yeah, but everyone else around you says you drink too much. You know, what habit is it that this one thing, if I could change this one thing, would make the biggest difference? Maybe it's in my relationships. Maybe you've got a relationship right now that you know is not right, that you know is unhealthy. Maybe it's a relationship that will destroy your marriage. Maybe it's a relationship that will hold you back from finding the right marriage. Maybe the relationship is your marriage. It's just not where it needs to be today. You know, my wife and I had a talk last week, and we just started deciding that in 2015, we're setting some goals in our marriage, and we've got some goals to go to another place. Not because we have a bad marriage. We just think that there's more available for us. Like, we need to go to another level this year in our marriage. And husbands, I want to encourage you. Why don't you go home today and just shock your wife and say, you know what? We could go to another level in our marriage. Let's set some goals to get our marriage to a better place this year. There's more available for us. That's the power of small groups. Because you get inside these small groups and you get around other people who are going through different life issues, you know, men getting with some men and women with women and married groups getting with some married couples. And it always takes the first person to be honest. And then once the first person is honest and like, you know, I'm struggling, I need some help, then everyone's now honest and struggling. It's like, you know, everyone's perfect until somebody's honest. So why don't you get in your small group this semester and just be honest and say, man, I need some help. And I guarantee you're going to find out there's a lot of people in that small group that need help right alongside of you. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but we're all in the same hospital, including myself. I mean, we're all in the same needs. Maybe that one thing is my debts. Maybe this is the year that you're finally going to get serious about getting out of debt. You know, my wife and I worked hard for 5 years, and about 6 months ago, we finally got completely out of debt, and we're not going back. I mean, it is freeing. We actually have a stewardship conference coming up at the end of this month where we're gonna kick the year off right, and we're gonna teach on getting out of debt and budgeting and stewardship and investments and retirement funds, and then we're gonna kick off an entire semester of small groups in a couple weeks. And there's gonna be a number of small groups designed to help you get out of debt and budget, because we got marriages right now falling apart because of financial difficulties. And if you could just learn to get out of debt and budget and get on the same page, it would change your marriage. Maybe this one thing is my health. Maybe it's my health. Maybe it's finally time for you to start listening to the doctor and actually doing what he's been telling you you should do. I mean, this is what I did a couple months ago. I realized that it's time for me to get in shape. I'm not getting any younger. It's not getting any easier. I've got a six-year-old. If you've ever seen him, he's quick. I've got to work out just to stay up to speed with him. And so it's, you know, maybe it's the health, the one thing that if changed would make the biggest difference. Maybe it's your dreams. Maybe it's your dreams. Maybe you've had a dream from God that you've kind of put on the shelf and you've just kind of put it on standby and you keep making excuses or you feel like maybe you don't have the ability to do it. And it's time that you start going after the dream that God's put in your heart. See, 2015 can be the best year of your life if, like the Apostle Paul, you'd focus on that one thing. What one thing, if changed, would make the biggest difference in your life? And we're going to support you as a church. We're going to get behind you 100%. And even more than that, you've got God on your side. You've got God who created heaven and earth on your side. So let's just forget 2014. You know, we didn't do that real well. Let's just kind of forget that. And let's, as Paul said, move forward. Let's press on. Let's strain towards what God has for us, the potential he has for us in 2015. Now, before I go any further, I want to pray over your 2015 to start this year. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray right now for every person sitting in church today. God, for those sitting in the cafe right now, that you would begin to just right now ordain their steps in 2015. Put favor on this year. Let them discover that one thing that if they would get focused would make the biggest difference in their life to accomplishing their purpose, their destiny, their potential, and realizing everything, God, that you have for them this year. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I want to take the remaining moments, and I really feel like today God put a word on my heart for you. And I probably only say that a couple times a year, and you can call this a prophetic word, you can call it whatever you want to, but I really feel like God's given me something for you to start this year. And this is what I've been so excited about sharing with you, because I really feel like if you can grasp this truth, it'll not just change 2015, but it'll change the rest of your life. And it's simply this: if you really want to be successful, really, really successful at any part of your life, you cannot leave God out of the equation. Like, you can't do it. If you really want to be successful, you cannot leave God out of your life. See, you were created body, soul, and spirit. You are a three-part being. You're the only part of God's creation that has three distinct parts. See, animals have body and soul. Plants have body. You have body, soul, and spirit. And there's this part of you, a spirit, that was designed by God to have direct connection to him, relationship with him. And if left unattended, it will leave this vacuum in this hole inside of you that only God can fill. And you can fill it with whatever you want to fill it, and it will never satisfy, and it'll never be enough. And if you've ever found yourself in a position where you're frustrated because you've been living life without God being in the center, then you've discovered that you're just not enough. Like you just don't have all that it takes to get the job done. There is a part of our life that was created by God. It's available to us. It's powerful. It's real. And it's not a natural life. It is a supernatural life. I have no interest in being here today if we're not believing in a supernatural life. This is not a religion just learning how to be good people and teach us some good principles and let's check it off the list that I went to church this week. We are here today to learn how to live a supernatural life. Supernatural meaning beyond your natural ability. Like, this is what you can do, and then this is what you can do with God. It's beyond your natural ability. And that's why in the Bible, if you ask them in the Bible, what's the one thing for you? Like, what one thing that if you did in your life would make the biggest change? They'd all tell you only one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed. If you ask King David, he'd put it like this in Psalm 27. David said, One thing I ask. One thing. There's one thing above everything else. There's one thing that I'll ask of the Lord. And this is what I'm seeking, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I'll gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and I'll seek him in his temple. David said, one thing I want, and that's just to be close to God. Like if I can get close to God, if I can dwell in his house, if I can be in his presence. Because here's the truth. The closer I get to Jesus, the more empowered I am to do everything else on the list. See, we all have those one things, whether it's habits or health or relationships or finance. We all got those one things. But the closer you get to Jesus, the more you are empowered to do everything else on your list. So the truth is, really, only one thing is needed. Only one thing is really needed, and that's to get close to Jesus. And if you ask me, what's my one thing this year? I'll tell you, I not only want to, but I need to get closer to Jesus this year than I have ever been before. Like I am desperate this year to get closer to him than I've ever been in my life. I'm not satisfied with where I'm at spiritually today. Like, I need more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I'm actually writing a series right now for the month of August called Closer, and just about what does it mean to be closer? Because there is so much more that's available to all of us. So if you're serious about this being the best year of your life, here's the truth in your notes. This can be the best year of your life if, and this is a big if, it is the best year of your life spiritually. It could be the best year of your life if it's the best year of your life spiritually. I want to show you this in the life of Jesus. Luke chapter 10, incredible story. You see this principle. There's only one thing is really needed. You see it right here. Luke 10 verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Now, I want to stop there for a moment. Martha is the villain of the story. She gets a really bad rap because she blew it in the story. But I want you to notice here that she's the one that initiated the whole process to begin with. Like she's the one that opened her home to Jesus. And so even though she gets a bad rap, notice that she's the one that gets the ball rolling to begin with. It says, a woman named Martha opened her home to him, and Martha had a sister called Mary. And look at this. Mary sat at the Lord's feet. Like, how close can I get to Jesus? How close can I be to Jesus? I'm going to sit at his feet, and I'm going to get as close to Jesus as I can possibly get. It says she sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what Jesus said. But Martha was distracted. Distracted. How many of you have ever been distracted? Have you ever been, you're praying, and then you're just distracted. You're reading the Bible, and then you're just distracted. You just get so distracted in life. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. And you know what? There's a lot of you today that are worried and upset about many things. Like you're worried and upset about many things. You're staying up at night. You're worrying. You're trying to figure it out. You've got things that you're upset about. And I want you to look at what Jesus is saying, because I really believe this is the prophetic word for our church today. Jesus says to her, but only one thing is needed. There's that phrase again. Only one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed. And see, here's the thing. Whatever you listed on the first page, whether it was your health or your habits or your debts, whatever it was, that's important. But the chances are you're never going to accomplish that until you do this. The chances are you're really not going to make a change in that area until you do this one thing in this area, because only one thing is really needed. And Jesus said, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. See, Mary chose to sit at his feet. So what I want to do today is I want to help you get close to God this year. I want to help you get closer to God than you have ever been in your life. And there's three things in this story I want to show you. And I phrased all of the points today, I have decided, because it's going to take some resolve to do this. It's going to take some commitment. You're going to have some tenacity to get these things done. Remember how Paul worded, I'm going to forget, I'm going to strain, I'm going to press towards that goal. We're going to have to make some decisions. I have decided, here's number one, that I'm going to make the most of the new year. I'm going to make the most of this new year. I could have wrote this opportunity. Because every new year gives us a sense of a new opportunity. It's this feeling of a fresh start. Something about January 1st where we all feel like we've got this fresh start. We have this opportunity. Well, in the story, Martha had an opportunity. Martha had this incredible opportunity. Jesus was in her house. I mean, think about that. You don't get a better opportunity to get close to Jesus than the man standing in your house. And she's in the kitchen, distracted. She's in the kitchen, distracted. And in some way today, Jesus is here. Jesus is in your house. He is in your presence. He is right here in front of you. And so many of you are in the kitchen, distracted. You're missing this opportunity. I mean, think about it. You live on the greatest country in earth. I mean, this is the greatest. We have so much freedom to worship Jesus and be close to him here more than any other country on earth. You go to one of the greatest churches in North County, in my opinion. You live in North County, even better. I mean, you have opportunity right in front of you. You are blessed. You have this opportunity. Don't find yourself in the kitchen distracted. I mean, you've got so much. Jesus is right here, and you're worried, and you're upset, and you're struggling and dealing with all this junk, and Jesus is right here, and you're distracted in the kitchen. Paul says it like this in Ephesians 5. In verse 15, Paul says, be very careful. Now, why is he telling us to be very careful? Because chances are we're not. I mean, the only reason Paul would say be very careful is because most of us aren't. Most of us aren't being, and what's he talking about? He's saying, be very careful how you live. See, most of us today, we're not very careful about how we live. He says, not as the unwise, but as the wise, making the most of every opportunity. This word opportunity in the Greek is the Greek word kairos. It means a opportune or a seasonable time. It's a limited window. Literally what Paul is saying is you have this limited window of opportunity. It's a window that's going to open and it's going to shut. And are you going to capitalize on it? When this opportunity comes, it's right there in front of you. So I want to encourage you today, especially for those of you that are new to our church. Like if you're new to our church, this is my encouragement. Give me 1 year of your life. Just give me 1 year of your life and do everything we do. Like take the prescription as prescribed. Run the play as we said it. When small groups start in a couple weeks, find a small group. Get in community. Get around some other healthy Christians and start doing life together. Go through the Discover course this year. Take Church 101 today and then Essentials 201 and especially Discovery 301. Because what I've noticed is the majority of people sitting in church today have no idea what your spiritual gifts are. You have no idea why God has created you and designed you and put you on earth for. And then find your place on the dream team and begin to serve, finding something that you were created for. You were designed, something that's actually going to fulfill you more than it is just filling a need. And then when the different conferences and retreats come around, from the men's retreat and the marriage conference, and all, do them all. And here's my promise to you. If your life isn't better in a year, then I'll leave the church with you because we're not all that. But I promise you, if you'll go all in, you're going to see such a radical change in your life for the better. You think life's good now. When you see where God can take you, you can't even imagine where God can take you if you'll just go all in. You're one step away from this being the greatest and the best year of your life if you'll realize this opportunity that's right in front of you. Jesus is here. He's in the house. All you have to do is go all in. So here's the declaration. I put a couple declarations in your notes for you. I have decided that 2015 will be the best year of my life because it's going to be the best year spiritually. I've decided it's going to be the best year because it's going to be the best year spiritually. Here's number two. Because you are a spiritual being, remember, we're body, soul, and spirit, and you're temporarily housed in this physical body. Here's number two. I have decided to get rid of every distraction. I'm going to get rid of every distraction. Every distraction. Martha was distracted. I'm going to get rid of all the distractions. And here's the thing about that story that's interesting to me. Martha not only missed her opportunity. She not only missed the opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus, but she also thought what she was doing was more important. Do you notice that? Not only did she miss this incredible opportunity to be close to Jesus, but she thought what she was doing in place of that opportunity was more important than that opportunity. Have you ever noticed how many good things we get involved with that distract us from the best things in our life? See, I think one of Satan's greatest goals is he loves to keep us busy with good things because it pulls us away from the one thing. Only one thing is needed, and Satan will get you so busy with good things that it'll actually distract you from the one thing. The thing that's needed more than anything else. And they're good things. Like, social media is a good thing. It's great to be able to connect with friends and family that live in different parts of the world and kind of watch the kids grow up and celebrate Christmas. It's a wonderful thing, but not 6 hours a day. And we get so distracted by this stuff. Like, I have never in my life, like in America, seen so many grown men. Their emotional states are determined by 20-year-olds. I mean, it's a sport. They're just kids. Your life shouldn't rise and fall on how well they can carry a football. I mean, some of these kids are 19, 20, 21, and your entire emotional frame of mind is built around children. I mean, enjoy it, have fun with it, watch it, but don't get so distracted by it. I love the way Hebrews puts it in 12 verse 1. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd, a great crowd of witnesses. Now this great crowd of witnesses, that's all of your loved ones that have passed away. They're actually up there right now cheering you on. You're running a race, and they're in the bleachers cheering you on, watching the way you live your life, watching the way you run your race. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders. Let's just get rid of all these distractions. Just throw it all off so that we can run the race set out for us. So let me explain what 21 days of prayer and fasting is all about. Because here's the thing. Most people, most Christians understand prayer. Even most non-Christians understand what prayer is. But what a lot of people don't really understand is what is fasting all about? Like, I get prayer, but what is fasting? Fasting, simply put, is getting rid of the distractions. That's all fasting is. I'm just gonna get rid of the distractions. And we do it for 21 days. Why? Because I believe it takes 21 days to create a new habit in your life. And we want to create some new habits in your life. So fasting is simply finding that thing that distracts you the most. Like, and it could be a good thing, but whatever that thing is that distracts you the most, and you simply say, Lord, I just want you to know, I don't love it as much as I love you. And so for the next 21 days, I'm just not going to do it so that I can spend more time sitting at your feet. I'm going to spend more time getting close to you. And so I encourage everyone here to participate. If you're a part of our church family, like you come to church on a whatever regular basis, we want to encourage you, be a part of the 21 days. Like, show up, even if you can only show up one time during the 21 days of prayer, show up one time during the 21 days. Just even if you can only stay 5 minutes, you may say, well, I don't even know how to pray. I don't even want to pray. Just come and sit and watch everyone else pray. You don't even have to pray. Just come sit and watch everyone else. You'll get the hang of it. But then also, I want to encourage everybody to find an area of fasting in your life, wherever God leads you to fast. And let me give you a couple keys. First thing, don't get legalistic about this. Like you may set out to fast and then you're doing really well, and all of a sudden you go to Leucadia Donuts and you get a whole box and you just blow it. Don't get legal. Don't put yourself in bondage. Just start over the next day. I mean, just start fresh the next day. God is not a legalistic God. See, so many people think fasting is God wanting to punish you because God wants you to suffer and you need to punish yourself for God. That's not what fasting is. Just getting rid of the distractions so you can get closer to Jesus. It has nothing to do with punishing yourself. It's just, I want to do less time doing that and more time just sitting at the feet of Jesus, getting closer to Jesus. And so we've got some great resources online. If you go to our website, there's a whole fasting page. It'll take you to a fasting website with some great articles and research where you can study about it, like medically and what to do, what not to do, and some great things. But I want to break it down to just some simple areas of fasting. For 21 days of prayer and fasting, the first type of fast is what we call a full fast. That's water only or water and juice for 21 days. Now, if you're going to do water only, make sure you do that under doctor's supervision and make sure you prepare yourself physically for that. You don't just want to jump into a water only if you've not prepared yourself for it, because there's some preparation that goes into that. And then, or a water and juice, and make sure you study the research, because if you drink the wrong type of juice, it'll upset your stomach and make you sick. There's right kinds of juice for fasting and wrong kinds of juice, so make sure you at least do some research and study it. There's what we call a partial fast. That's where you fast maybe like one meal a day or two meals a day or maybe 3 days a week, or maybe it's, you know, a certain type of food. Like, I'm going to fast broccoli for 21 days. 21 days, no broccoli. I wouldn't do that. I mean, maybe it's like desserts or something like that. But it's something that you love that you're just letting go of for 21 days. Just saying, I don't want to be distracted by that. I want to be closer to him. There's what we call the Daniel fast. That's what Daniel and his friends did in the Bible. That's basically where you eat fruits, vegetables, and like grains and nuts and things like that. It's just a very kind of healthy, you know, no meat, no cheese, no dairy, no processed foods or sugars. It's just a very kind of a healthy thing. And then most importantly is what we call the media fast, and that's for your soul. Remember, we're three-part beings, body, soul, and spirit. At any given time, one of those is going to be the strongest, and the strongest one is going to make the other two submit. The goal of following Christ is that our spirit is strongest and our body and soul are submitted to our spirit. And so what we do through fasting is we go through a season of time where we starve the body and starve the soul so that our spirit can become the strongest, so that the spiritual senses become heightened. Now, if you just fast your body and you don't fast your soul, you're not getting any benefits. You're just hungry and miserable. Like, you need to fast both of them together for this to work. And so when it comes to fasting the soul, what we encourage is a media fast. You know, just no TV, no news, no Facebook, no video games, no, you know, iPad games. I mean, just take 21 days and say, you know what? I don't need this stuff for 21 days. I'd rather just spend that energy and that time getting closer to Jesus. Guess what? It'll all be there when you get back in 21 days. You're not going to miss anything. The world will keep ticking if you kind of disconnect for 21 days. It will be the most powerful thing of your life doing this. I can't even tell you how many people did this last year for the very first time, even people who are brand new Christians, and it changed their life, just taking that time and saying, you know what, I'm just going to disconnect, I'm going to clear the distractions, and I'm just going to get closer to Jesus for a little while. Because every time you say no to that, to sit at the Lord's feet, it'll change your life. But you have to make the decision today to get out of the kitchen, to get rid of the distractions, and do it. So here's the declaration. I have decided that I'm not going to let anything that will ultimately mean nothing keep me from experiencing what means everything. And then here's the third I have decided. I have decided to prioritize the presence of Christ in my life. I have decided to prioritize the presence of Christ, every area of my life. Like, I'm not just going to be a Sunday go-to-church Christian, but I'm going to prioritize God. I'm going to live a God-first type of life every day of the week. You know, last August, during the 21 days, we did a series on prayer, and one of the messages I taught was a message that simply said, pray first, pray first. And the concept was, prayer should not be our last resort, prayer should be our first response. Like, how different would your life be if before everything you just pray first? Like, before that business phone call, you pray first. Before that meeting, you pray first. Before you drop the kids off at school, you pray first. How different could your life be if in everything you prayed first? And we actually created these bracelets. These bracelets just say, pray first. And they're available. We got more for you for this 21 days, so you can grab a bracelet as just a reminder that in everything we're going to pray first. So this was my challenge for 21 days. Set aside the distractions. That's fasting, whatever the Lord leads you to do. And get closer to Jesus. That's prayer. Get rid of the distractions, fasting. Closer to Jesus, prayer. That's how we prioritize them. Only one thing is needed. Only one thing, and Mary has chosen what was better. Remember Paul said, this one thing I do? Well, he actually tells us what that one thing was in the verses preceding that verse. If we go back in chapter 3, and I'll close with this, Paul says in verse 7, I once thought these things were valuable. Shopping and holidays and boyfriends and girlfriends and video. I once thought all this stuff was valuable. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. For his sake, I've discarded everything else. I've counted it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. This one thing I do. David said, one thing that I can get close to Jesus. Paul said, one thing that I can gain Christ. Jesus said, only one thing is needed. And Mary, sitting at my feet, has chosen what was best. Let's dedicate this year to God by giving him the first part of it. That's what 21 days is all about. We want to give God the first of our year. We want him to know he's first, that we love you, God, more than anything else. So before anything else this year, we're going to give you the first of this year and get closer to you than we've ever been, to know you more than we've ever known you, to get rid of all these distractions and to just build our relationship with you. It's one thing. Would you close your eyes with me and bow your heads? Before we leave, I want to give some of you an opportunity to make that decision to prioritize Christ in your life, to make him the priority of your life. Here's the thing. If Jesus isn't number one on your list, he's not on your list. Don't fool yourself. You're not going to try to squeeze Jesus into number two in your life. You're not going to squeeze Jesus into number three in your life. You know whether he's the priority. See, when he's the priority, you will rearrange the rest of your life to reflect that. Like, you rearrange your values, you rearrange your time, you rearrange your money, you rearrange your week, all to reflect Jesus is the priority of my life. So you know whether he's the priority of your life or not. And I want to give you a chance to make a decision today, either to make him the priority for the very first time or to renew the commitment to him being the priority. Maybe you're just at a place where you're like, you know what, 2015, I've got this fresh start right now. I'm just going to start fresh and make him the priority of my life this year. You know, 2014, I didn't do so good. He just honestly, if I look at 2014, Jesus wasn't the priority of my life in 2014. I didn't live for him. I lived for me or for whatever. But this year, I want to make a commitment today to really make Jesus the priority of my life. And that my whole life would reflect he's the priority. And so whether you need to make that decision for the very first time, or you simply need to renew that commitment, I want to pray with you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to walk down to the front. You don't even need to pray this out loud, because this is really a commitment you're making to God. You're not making this commitment to me, and you're not making this commitment to a church. You're making this commitment to God, and so you can pray this in your heart. God will respond to you. But just so that I know who I'm praying with today, with every eye closed, would you just, if you need to join me in that simple prayer, would you just slip up your hand and say, I'm going to join you in that prayer today. Right now, just slip up your hand. Thank you. 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 I appreciate those hands. Thank you. You can put them down. The prayer is simple. Just say, Jesus, today, I decide to make you the priority of my life. I invite you, Jesus, to come and be the ruler of my life. Jesus, thank you for forgiving me, and I receive that forgiveness today. In your name, amen. You can look up for just a moment. If you prayed that prayer with me, I want to encourage you to take one more step, something you can do on your own. On the connection card in your worship guide, there's two boxes. One says, I'm committing my life to Christ. One says, I'm renewing my commitment to Christ. If you made either one of those decisions today, we'd love to hear about it so that we can support you in prayer. If you fill out the card, as we say every week, we have a hassle-free guarantee. We will not call you or show up at your home. All you'll receive from us if you fill out one of these cards is an email. And we'll send you an email that gives you the next steps. And one of the greatest next steps is that you would join us for lunch today at 12:30. I'm teaching today Church 101, which is the due diligence on our church. If you're new and checking us out, you don't want to make a decision whether or not this is a good church for you until you've attended Church 101. Because in that class, we're going to make it very clear for you what our vision is, what our DNA is. We're going to talk about our budget and how we spend money and our accountability. And we're going to answer every question you might have so that you can make the best decision possible on whether or not this is a good church family for you. So today at 12:30, we've got lunch taken care of, childcare taken care of for you, lunch for your children. So I'd love to invite you to come and join me for lunch. Would you stand with me as I close this in prayer? Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to make some decisions this year, God. And in this week one, God, we want to make the decision that really only one thing is needed, and that's to get closer to you. So let us get closer to you than we have ever been. Let us use this 21 days of prayer and fasting as just kind of a catalyst into a relationship with you that is beyond what we've ever experienced or known before. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Have a great week, everybody.